That's another thing, too, that he laughs at is, like, in all these movies, you know, whenever a disease mutates, it for some reason, it never changes the symptoms, though. Like, you know...
Or it makes them worse or something.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah, because a common thing is, like, for instance, with the internal hemorrhaging fever and all that, you know, when it's, you know, waterborne or bodyborne, you know, like, the common side effect that's portrayed on TV is the person breaks out in blood blisters, but when it's airborne, they still have the same symptom, only 10 times worse, when in reality, what my best friend's father-in-law said, what should really be happening if that disease were to, in theory, mutate into airborne is that they shouldn't be bleeding, you know, from their eyes or something. They should just be violently coughing.
Yeah.
Because it's no longer attacking their blood vessels, it's attacking their lungs now. They'll probably say, well, that's because God wanted her to die. That's the old thing they said. I mean, I think it was the Vatican that said the smallpox vaccine was a work of the devil.
Oh my God.
Or they'll blame toxins for it or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
It was kind of like when Andy Warhol died. I mean, I forget what it was that he had, but he had basically everyone begging him, go to the doctor, go to the doctor, go to the doctor, get yourself checked out. And he's like, no, I've got my, you know, all natural, whatever, naturopathic, homeopathic remedies. I'll do, you know, that's all working for him. It's like, well, at least go get it checked out. And he got himself checked out and he wasn't fine. And he really needed, like, emergency surgery to save his life. And even then, there wasn't much of a chance, so he died. So what do? They blame the surgeons.
Oh, yeah. But speaking of which, Steve Jobs actually died that way. You know, many people remember his cancer, but what they don't tell you is that Steve Jobs had known he had cancer for a while, and he sought homeopathic treatment, and it wasn't until he was coughing up blood and he lost so much weight that he finally said, yeah, I think I need to see a doctor. But by that point, the doctor told him, look, it's advanced too much. Even with all this painful surgery and chemotherapy, you've got a very slim chance to live. So he said, well, then what's the point then? And basically he wasted away and died.
Early intervention is key.
One more reason UHC sucks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because in a UHC country, you get free healthcare, but it's like you come into a doctor saying, doctor, I don't know what's been going on. I've been having these really tight chest pains and I've been coughing up blood. Can I see someone? Okay, fine. Fill out the paperwork and we'll see you in 3 months.
Yeah, that's how it is. I saw a funny meme. It's like, do you know why the waiting lists for medical exams in England are so high? Because there are only 13 doctors. But I'm crash.
As bad as Microsoft is, like, you know, in terms of quality and price and the like, well, as Shane already pointed out before the podcast, yeah, they're definitely getting better over the years, but something that confuses me is, okay, so, yeah, they're proprietary with their software and stuff, but... And speaking from experience here, I find Apple to be much worse. Let me give you an example. So I have an iPod. It's, I think, like, the only Apple product I own. And whenever I connect it to my computer and try to... And I thought, at some point, you know what, maybe I want to go in and look at my songs in it, since I have some songs in that I don't really... I think I don't have the files for anymore, elsewhere on my computer. So I go into the... Okay, so files, music, sound... And for some reason, and I'm not sure why or how this happens, but it looks like they made it so that whenever you add a file, like a music file, into your iPod, it completely jumbles the name and puts it into a folder with a very jumbled name as well. I'm like, okay. It's like, why would they do that?
Well, they are wanting the user to use it through their interface, and so they're doing all the files in the background for the sake of their interface, and that's Apple's philosophy, and if you... One case where it's like, look, just give me something I can use that works. I don't need, you know, to go into the background and do a whole bunch of stuff. I just want to use apps that work. Then that's what iOS and macOS 10 is all about.
Yeah.
You know, if you want the power to be able to go in and do what you want on there, then you'd want to go with Android or Linux or something like that.
I just want to be able to have a copy or a backup of my music files that often mean a lot to me, on my computer, or on a backup drive, just in case.
Yeah, they want you to install iTunes to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can do... Oh, I have iTunes on there, but what annoys me is that I can only use it through that interface and not being able to have it... Like...
No, I mean, if you put iTunes on your desktop machine, you should be able to interface with it that way.
Yeah, but I don't think... Well, so you mean you think I could probably be able to use that to copy the files, like, from my iPod elsewhere?
It should copy the files, yeah. It should put a copy on that machine.
Okay, here's hoping, because, I mean, good lord, it just struck me as really annoying. I mean, between their freakishly high prices, difficulty to upgrade, and general ugliness, yeah, I don't think they look pretty, I think they look ugly. I mean, I've just had, like, literally nothing but bad luck with Mac machines. Like, to give you an idea, when I was in college, taking a course on basically it was like something regarding computer design, and I think we were trying to do assembly-related coding, which is a massive pain in the ass, I'm going to tell you. Because my professor has this love for Apple machines, and he was doing it via that, of course I can't really follow it, since I'm using my own non-Mac machine. And the few times I tried to do it the way he's doing it, it's like, okay, this isn't working. I mean, it's like, to the point where it really messed me up in that entire course. I'm like, ugh.
Okay, so so the thing, you want to get the files off your iPod.
Or copy them from my iPod with their actual recognizable names.
Well, I can't guarantee the recognizable names, but I mean, what you would do is set up, well, unless you want to do it manually or something, but,
Jesus.
But going in and saying, okay, I'm putting iTunes on this machine and then get the stuff from my iPod to get it from your iPod, then turn your iPod off and then see if you can play go through something you haven't played on that machine and see if you can play it. And if you have, then it's copied the files over.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I just had nothing but, I mean, something tells me that Apple is not a very good match for machines and systems with me. I just don't like it. Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, which is why I don't understand why they don't get as much flack as Windows do and Microsoft. I mean, yeah, I understand Microsoft kind of sucks and are a bit, you know, a bit shady at times and a bit money-grubbing, but in my experience, I find Apple to be much worse with stuff like that. I mean, at least
Apple has gotten worse as Microsoft has gotten better.
I know. I mean, it's like to the point where, well, for starters, for the same machine, I looked up online, and I think it costs like 2, 3, 4 times the price.
Yeah.
And that's for a machine you can't really upgrade, for one.
That actually was mocked on South Park, you know, in the episode Human Incentipad, where Cartman wants an iPad badly, even though there's a similar product by Toshiba which does the exact same thing, only it's $200 left, and he's like, I can't do that, it has to be Apple!
But yeah, it sounds like, despite my apprehension for it, it sounds like Linux might actually be a good match for me, if it's anything like the Android user interface and stuff.
Well, the thing you can do is just get, you know, Ubuntu or something like that, and you can just put it on a CD or a USB drive, boot from that without it touching your system, just boot up with it, take a look around and see if it works, and you can do that without having to install it.
Oh, wow, I didn't know you could do that. Cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Everyone seems to hate Linux for some reason. I see a lot of jokes, you know, where they mock Linux or something. I don't know why.
I don't know.
I mean, I've been told it's, like, really robust. Like, I've been told by Shane that it, like, can't get viruses or something, but I'm a little bit leery on that
Well, I would never say it can't get viruses.
Yeah, all computers can get malware, so...
It's kind of like saying a watch is water-resistant.
Yeah.
You can get it wet, and it'll usually be okay, but there are probably limits.
Yeah, because I remember you said something regarding ports or something, like, with that, and I'm thinking, like, I don't know, I mean, it's just that I've heard this from the Mac fanboys, like, well, Macs don't get viruses and stuff, and I'm like... Yes, because...
There's actually some really bad Mac malware out now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, the only reason people weren't making Mac viruses and malware before was because there was no point in it, because they weren't as ubiquitous as they are now. But now that iPhones and stuff, for example, are like, I think it's the number one selling phone now. Oh, wait, there's now a much bigger incentive for it.
Well, I mean, here's the interesting thing. This is the thing you have to look at. And I forget the exact numbers, but it's like, there's this tiny amount of malware on iOS devices, iPhones and iPads, and this huge amount of malware on Android. But here's the thing. If you stick to the Google Play Store to get your apps, you're actually less likely to get malware on an Android than you are to get it from the iTunes Store on an iOS device. What happens is Android kind of gives you something kind of down. If you know where to look, there's a checkbox that is not checked by default. It says to allow it to get
third-party apps.
Yeah, get apps from third-party stores.
Ah.
And so, I mean, some of them are good, like Amazon. They're really good about vetting their apps, but a lot of them just have whatever kind of crud people want to upload.
Yeah.
And so you don't know what kind of malware is out there.
Yeah.
So, whereas you can do that on an iOS device, but you have to jailbreak it, and it's this really involved process.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny with malware, you bring up malware, because I've actually heard that not all malware... where it is created viciously. In fact, there's actually been some famous malware that was created by complete accident.
Yeah.
Usually a program error. Yeah, because my friend Jason tells me a lot of funny stories, and he told me one funny story about a guy he knew at a former job where he was a computer programmer, and one of his former employers. He was doing a systems checkup on their building real quickly, and he accidentally pressed a button and caused a miss error, and the result was that he created a malware which caused their fire alarm system to go off 24 hours a day. And
it
took them 3 days to get it fixed because he couldn't find the line of code.
Yeah, but that's really that's really unlikely and very kind of specialized to that thing.
Yeah.
The kind of malware that you're worried about getting, it's written deliberately.
Yeah, usually by ad spammers.
I hate spam. I think I never
get what they call it, Trojan horses. I call them Achaean horses.
Yeah, it was the Greeks that actually built the horse, yeah.
Yeah, the Greek Achaeans, not the Trojans.
It was given to the Trojans.
Yeah.
That kind of makes it a big fail naming the condoms after the Trojans, because the Trojans let it in.
I think I saw a parody like that, you know, where it's like it shows a guy using a Trojan condom, and then it shows, you know, like the syphilis bacteria telling his buddies, "Don't worry, I know how to get past this condom. Hey, you're right. We're sorry. We can't get your balls. Here, have this lovely horse. It's fine." Okay.
Oh, God?
Yeah, and then it deliberately tears itself. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, like Google. You know, normally I like Google, but I just had to facepalm when they announced those Google glasses and all that. You know, I'm like, it's like, really? You just invented a hacker's wet dream now. You know, it's like, I've actually heard that now they're heavily considering canceling that project because they understand, yeah, we can see this one is way too easy to abuse, so...
Well, I think it's more the fact that the augmented reality glasses are kind of coming in. Both Microsoft and Sony are coming out with their augmented reality goggles in the fall, and
yeah.
So...
And I guess, despite my disdain for Apple, something I will give them is I'm told that, based on a story we covered previously, that their phones are, like, really, really secure. To the point where I still remember that story where GovCo was saying, because of this, the iPhone will soon be the most popular phone of pedophiles and child predators.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, that's the trade-off we were talking about earlier. You didn't like the fact that, you know, there were a lot of things you couldn't do with the iPhone, but that is one reason why it's so secure.
Yeah.
The most insecure component is the human being.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be this trade-off between security and what you're able to do with your device.
Yeah. True.
And speaking of security, I'm just going to put this with computer security. I think I've covered this before, but for all the flawed science it does, Jurassic Park did portray one thing scientifically accurate. It portrayed how you fight a hacker. You don't, you know, suddenly activate all the firewalls and all that. What you do if there's a major malware, you shut the entire thing down.
Oh, have you guys watched Mr. Robot on USA?
I can't say I have.
Oh, it's about this one hacker and this one hacker group that's trying to get him in and all the hacks they do. And man, they are getting everything right.
Wow.
With you know, what when it comes in, how do you do the intrusion detection? How do you... Oh man, it's really good.
Yeah, the only thing a firewall is going to do is let you know that you've been intruded, but it's not going to really fix the problem.
It can't stop the Greek army from coming out of the Trojan horse once it's in your city.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, all it can do is tell you, that horse looks a little suspicious. I don't think you should let it in, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of one last note on the trade-off you mentioned, so... I guess I lean a little more towards what I can do with the system, and here's, as opposed to, quote, security, and here's why. I tend to be, like, really paranoid with security to the point where, if you remember what happened with LastPass, to the point where I want my stuff to be secure, but not so secure that even I can't get into it. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
But see, that's the issue with something that's TNO. If you screw up, you're out of luck.
Yeah.